Good morning, everyone. I want to begin by thanking you for all the prayers for my dad the past 6 months or so, and for a safe trip this past week. As Nancy just said, he passed away on Friday, and it was a blessing to be able to be there last weekend with my family in New Mexico and with him. And, you know, while it's always hard to lose a loved one or a parent, I know today that he is reunited with my mother in heaven, who passed on to her eternal home about a year and a half ago. And so that gives me peace this morning. But I wanted to share this. This one in the middle is one of my favorite of me and my parents getting ice cream. That was 2 years ago when I was visiting them during my time of sabbatical. And I want to say a thank you to you as a congregation, because that time was so special to me, not knowing my parents were going to be passing in the next 2 years. And to be honest with you, some of those pictures of me and my dad there, the ones on the left are when we were in Israel, the Holy Lands. That was a trip that you all helped me go on. And my dad went with me. Some great memories. And then the ones on the right here are during that sabbatical trip. My dad and I took a week-long trip up to Colorado, Pikes Peak, the Durango-Silverton train. We went to some Cardinals-Rockies games while we were up there. Just wonderful memories. And I wanted to say thank you to you as a congregation, because you made that possible for me and my dad. But anyway, I want to say they were great parents, they were great examples, and most importantly, they were dedicated followers of Jesus Christ. And I know that they are now in heaven together for the rest of eternity. And so that brings me peace. It gives me strength to stand up here this morning and share with you from God's word. I was singing that with all my heart. The Lord is by my side this morning. The Lord is by my side. Nancy already said that the service will be Saturday, and Pastor John Stewart from the First Baptist Church up the road is going to be coming to bring the message next Sunday. And anyway, our family appreciates all of your thoughts and your prayers during this time. Okay, let's turn to God's word today in the Gospel of Matthew. In the first part of this 11th chapter, there's a story that takes place as John the Baptist sits in prison for sharing the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, which is ironic when you hear these verses. And, you know, John is now wondering if Jesus really is the Messiah. Excuse me. If he is the one that they have been waiting for and watching for. And as Andy shared before the song this morning, I mean, the Holy Spirit works these things out. I had no idea what he shared goes so perfectly with this passage and what I have to share this morning. And so the Holy Spirit just worked that out perfectly. But anyway, listen carefully to the message that Jesus sends back to John to calm his questions and his doubts, beginning with verse 1. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit more here. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. I'm going to stop there, but I went a little bit further than what the text says, or what we say in the bulletin this morning. But you know, each Sunday we come and we gather here to worship the Lord. We come to grow in our faith. We come together to be a community of believers together and to be reminded of God's kingdom in this world. But often we come here with things on our hearts and minds as well. There are times that we come to church with a questioning heart that needs rest. Maybe it was a tough week at work with an uncaring boss. Maybe someone is in a marriage that needs some work or some repair. Maybe a faithful parent is concerned about a wayward child or a young person who has lost a friend in a tragic death. Or maybe it's something I haven't mentioned even. Then sometimes we come to worship with lots of faith. We come filled with blessings. We come overflowing with joy. I mean, that really is why I think this Sunday morning gathering is so important to us. You know, with all of life that goes on out there, we can come here to find rest, to find answers, and to be reminded that God is in control. And I need that this morning, of course, with the passing of my father. When we miss worship, we tend to just go on with life and all of its hard and confusing realities. We miss the rest and the peace that worship can bring. There are many reasons that we come to worship, to be together, and to hear from the Lord. But there are times, like I said, that we come and we seem to have more questions than we do answers. We are, you know, seeking some kind of resolution to our problems or confidence to replace our doubt. The truth is, sometimes we come with questions. Because our experience in life, it's not matching up with how we expect God's will to be carried out. And that's where John the Baptist is this morning in these verses. By the way, this is a different John the Baptist than the one that's going to be here next Sunday. He's really good, but he's not John the Baptist that we read about in the Bible, so... Anyway, some months earlier, John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus, and he was proclaiming him as the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the one who's come to take away the sin of the world, the sins of the world. In John 1, he said, "He is the one who comes after me, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie." But now... Here in Matthew 11, he's in prison. King Herod has put him in prison for spreading that message and telling people about Jesus. And so John calls his friends, or his disciples, as it names them in verse 2, and he sends them out to Jesus to ask this intriguing question: "Are you the one who is to come? Or Should we expect someone else? I mean, you know, many of us can probably relate with John's question because we have been there at some point in our life. You know, these are real life situations in which our experience may not match up with what we expected. And as John the Baptist, you know, he's out there proclaiming judgment or deliverance, salvation down at the Jordan River. He didn't envision himself ending up in a cold, dark prison cell. And so he's sitting there in that cell and he's asking this question, are you really the Messiah? If you think about it, it's really a very bold move to make. John sent the disciples to ask this question because he was in prison. But I wonder if he would have had that boldness, that same boldness to ask this of Jesus, if Jesus were standing right there, you know, in front of his prison cell. It's a lot easier to say something on social media than it is to say it standing in the public square or standing face to face with the person that you might be saying that about or asking that about. But in John's defense, this is the only option that he has right now. And so they go and they ask Jesus the question, are you really the one who's to come? Are you the Messiah? Or should we expect someone else? And in verse 4, we see Jesus' response. He says, go back and report to John what you are hearing and what you are seeing. And then he lists some of the things that are happening. The blind are receiving sight. The lame are starting to walk. And those who have leprosy are being cleansed. The deaf are hearing. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. And then he says, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. There are some echoes there in those words of Jesus of what we heard from Mary in her song from Luke 1 that was read earlier. The mighty one, she said, the mighty one has done great things. His mercy extends to those who fear him. He has performed mighty deeds. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has helped his servant Israel. Well, Jesus then goes on to say some very nice things about John and this calling that he has answered to, prepare the way for Jesus. So what do you think John's response was when he heard this? You know, did he say, yes, I see those things, I realize it, but here I sit in prison? Or did he say, yes, just as I proclaimed down at the Jordan River, Jesus is God's Son, the Messiah? Well, you know, from the life and the character of John, we can be assured that it was the latter. He knew it. He knew it. He just wanted it confirmed by Jesus himself. He was checking to make sure the hope, the healing, and the salvation, that was still a part of this plan. And so Jesus responded to John's question and his doubt. He responded to him with care, with affirmation, and with evidence. And in that response to John, we see how Jesus responds to us in those times in life when we have questions and doubts. He confirms for us that he is the Messiah, that he is God's Son. And then instead of condemning us for maybe having a question or a doubt, he shows us evidence that he is there with us. And he desires to show us his love and care in the midst of those questions and those doubts. First of all, Jesus has compassion for us, for where we are at, and for what we are going through. He has compassion for John in prison. And he has compassion for us as we face the difficult things in life. You know, if you notice, Jesus did not condemn John for this question. He just reaffirmed the truth for him. Second, Jesus did not let this one time of questioning cancel out all that John had done before this. When Jesus goes on to affirm John and his ministry, he was, in a sense, calling John back to the message that he had been preaching that ended him up in prison. And you know what a great message that is for us during those times. We need to learn and we need to grow from those difficult times and those difficult experiences in life. But at the same time, not to allow them to cancel out the memory of the effective ministry that we have done in the past or that we have yet to do in the future. Jesus, you see, wants to heal that wound and set you back on the path of hope and restoration. And then the third thing that Jesus points, us back to God's word and the fulfillment of Scripture. The Messiah was to do all of those things that Jesus was doing. And so Jesus points to the truth that it's happening. That's what's going on here. That's what's happening. So, you know, everything in the world may not be just right for every one of us right now. But if we look around, we can see God at work. And the truth is, if we look at our own lives, we can see God at work. Sometimes Jesus changes our circumstances, but usually Jesus changes us. Jesus tells the disciples of John to carry this message back, and they were not given an answer suited particularly and especially for John, but they were to take him the same information and evidence that was available to all or to anyone who would seek it. I mean, you know, he simply gives John the opportunity to believe. The same opportunity that he was giving to anyone who was interested. And about what the public was hearing and seeing of Jesus at that time. So while John was asking for proof of Jesus' messiahship, Jesus instead was offering proof and giving him the evidence. To walk in faith and trust in God's healing and restoration means we most often must accept evidence in place of personal proof. You know, if we look around us, there is so much evidence that Jesus is real, that Jesus is God's Son, the Messiah, who came to heal us and to save us. And, you know, some may say, well, my father was not healed of pancreatic cancer. Let me tell you, he is more than healed this morning. I mean, he's experiencing in heaven what, you know, we can only imagine here on this earth. So sometimes healing comes in different ways than our earthly perception might explain that. But we need to prepare our hearts for that to happen in our own lives. We need to take those times of questioning and those times of doubt and ask Jesus to once again remind us of all the evidence. You know, a lot of times we need that. You see, doubt is that inner wrestling that we do to help us distinguish the truth of God from the lies of Satan. I talked about that several weeks ago when we were talking about spiritual warfare, that goes on in our world and in our lives. So when we doubt, we are facing the choice, really, of believing God or rejecting Him. Doubt's not the opposite of faith. Unbelief is. Let's see. I got messed up here. Let me find my way again on my slides. That's because I forgot this slide right here. Okay. Now we'll move on to this one. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Unbelief is. Unbelief stubbornly refuses to act in accord with God's will. Doubt is not the enemy of faith, but unbelief is. Doubt prompts us to ask questions, but unbelief refuses to hear answers. Doubt is the opportunity of faith. Unbelief is the opportunity of rejection. And, you know, that reminds me of that verse in Mark 9:24. After Jesus had healed the demon-possessed boy, the father said, "I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief." You know, here he had just seen his boy miraculously healed. It's real. It's just happened. And yet he is asking Jesus to help him trust in him at all times. He knows that there will be another John the Baptist moment in his future. But that's the key. When those times come, we turn to Jesus and we ask for his help. And that prepares the way for healing, for faith, and for trust, for deliverance, and for belief and hope that can be restored. J. Hudson Taylor once said, "It's not a great faith we need, it's faith in a great God that we need." So whatever it is that needs healing in your life, whether that is something physical, emotional, or spiritual, we need to turn to God and seek after God as a way of preparing for that evidence to come. All of this kind of reminded me this week of the oldest sermon illustration there is. Probably many of you have heard it before. It's that one about the famed tightrope walker who was going to walk across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. So he looks in the crowd and he says, "Who believes that I can push this wheelbarrow, or push a man in this wheelbarrow across the falls?" And so, you know, there's that guy in the front row and raising his hand, "I believe it. Yep, I believe you can do that." And then the walker says, "Okay, you come get in the wheelbarrow. Let's go." I really think John the Baptist would have climbed into the wheelbarrow after he heard what Jesus' response was to his question. He would have been like, "Yes, he is right. The evidence is everywhere if you just look around." Perhaps we would get in the wheelbarrow as well. But sometimes when we look at our current circumstances, we ask why. Why am I sitting here in this prison cell for proclaiming the good news to the world? Why am I going through this in my life right now? Why did this have to happen? Why have I waited so long for my prayers to be answered? Why this or why that? I understand that. I've been there myself. But that's when we need to turn to Jesus and find rest in his compassion for us, his affirmation for us, and his word, which gives us the evidence of who he is and how he can change our life and help us in our greatest hour of need. I started the message by talking about those times that we come here to worship, you know, and we have some questions, maybe difficult circumstances that we're facing in life, or maybe just the heavy load that life sometimes puts upon us. It doesn't happen every Sunday. I mean, thank goodness. We have more good Sundays and joyful and praising Sundays than the others. But none of us are immune to those things. I mean, even our heroes in the Bible, they experienced those at times, or those times as well. And so to end this morning, I want us to move to the last part of this chapter in Matthew 11. I've talked about turning to Jesus this morning. I've talked about placing our faith, you know, in the evidence of Christ that we see in the world. I've talked about the importance of this time of worship that we have on Sunday mornings. And so I guess the summation of all of that is to say, never underestimate what Jesus can do in your life, or how Jesus can work in your life to bring about change and restoration. But nothing is more important than hearing the words of Jesus in verses 28 and 30 of Matthew 11 here. So would you stand with me and would you say these words and these verses together with me in unison? And then following that, we will we'll go to the Lord in prayer together. So let's say these words of Jesus and let them comfort our heart today. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is life. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we know this life sometimes leaves us with questions and doubts and wondering things. And Lord, help us to realize that we are all in the same boat. We're all in that same situation. And first of all, help us to encourage each other in our faith. But Lord, help us to turn to you. Help us to turn to Jesus, knowing that he will be by our side and that our hope is set in him. That's where we find hope and restoration and the hope that change will come to our situation and to our whatever we are experiencing, whether that be physical, emotional, or spiritual. Just help us, Lord, to realize that you will come and be with us when we are weary and burdened. Lord, I thank you for each one here this morning, those watching online. I pray, Lord, that if there is anyone this morning who has not received you into their life as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they would just say a prayer to you and ask for your grace and forgiveness, that they would repent of their wayward ways and come back to you, or come to you for the first time and realize that by proclaiming you as our Lord and Savior and believing in you and following you, we are promised help as we go through this life in this world, but we are promised eternal life in heaven when we are done here on this earth. And I thank you that my mother and my father are there experiencing that today. We look forward, all of us who have lost loved ones, we look forward to that day of reunion in heaven. But Lord, we know that we have to proclaim our faith in you. You have said it yourself, that we need to proclaim our faith and belief in you in order to experience your heavenly eternity for all of us. And so, Lord, I pray that if anyone here today has not received that or accepted that gift of salvation and eternal life, I pray that they would do that today. Don't wait another day. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Lord, we pray that you would just be with us and your peace would be with us in the days ahead. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen.